Our high school guidance counselor used to ask us what you would do if you had $1 million, didn't have to work. And then invariably, whatever you'd say, that was supposed to be your career. So if you wanted to fix old cars, then you're supposed to be an auto mechanic.
So what did you say?
I never had an answer. I guess that's why I'm working at Inatech.
No, you're working at Inatech because that question is bullshit to begin with. If everyone listened to her, there'd be no janitors because no one would clean up if they had $1 million.
If I had $1 million, if I had $1 million.
I'm talking about millions of dollars.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
We're living in a material world and I am a material girl or boy.
Well, what about you now? What would you do?
Besides two chicks at the same time?
Well, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing, huh?
I would relax. I would sit on my ass all day. I would do nothing.
Well, you don't need $1 million to do nothing, man. Take a look at my cousin. He's broke, don't do
If I had $1 million, if I had $1 million.
Well, and welcome to Stacks and Jacks. That's all. You just met Weber on the board. We have Sir Brendan Cornan with us as well. SP Futures. How are you? SP Futures down 450. Wow. Buy the dip. Isn't that the plan? SP Futures down 14. This sell-off won't last, Brent. Not in this market. What do you think?
You know, I had a question for you. This is an amazing market, the way that it's still continuing. What's going to happen? Is there going to be any effect at all with the trial today?
No. The outcome was already determined, or he's going to be acquitted.
Does anybody even care about the trial?
No. Why would anybody?
I don't.
I don't understand why the Democrats are pushing it when the guy's not even there anymore and they know they don't have the votes to it's all a big screen for whatever it is they're stealing. Brendan, I'm absolutely starting to believe that.
Now, there's an optimistic look. You're definitely a glass half full type of guy.
Whenever I talk to you and other people like you that are somewhat optimistic on the world, I pull back. And then I read something. I read something the next day that just puts me right over the abyss again. And you know, but the problem is, I only have you half hour a week. If I had you like half hour every day, you'd move towards me.
Are you sure that you wouldn't move towards me?
We might move a little bit, but you would move more because the evidence is overwhelming. Maddie, what did you just tell me?
Oh, one of our listeners, Bob, wrote in that Kushner and Ivanka Trump reported up to $640 million in outside income during the White House years.
That's a number.
Yeah, that is.
As a matter of fact, I'm even once in a while, one of them, he sent me another email. Our skeptical man, Kevin, sometimes he can't even... He's having trouble with the abyss that we're in, you know. And I hate like how to be a host saying, "Look at the trouble we're in." He sent this thing. I don't know if you read this. I'm sure it was sent to you. The big, huge thing about what the $15 an hour wage thing does, how it actually costs the government money or something because you lose people and blah blah blah. And I sent Kevin back. I said, "You know, you can't believe any of that crap." I'm sure now he's pissed off at me, and rightfully so. But here's this huge. And, you know, one thing I should have done, Brendan, I should have just gone right out of grad school, or right out of college, and gone right down to the trading floor when it was a lot easier to make money. Who knows? Maybe I could have retired when I was 45 or something.
And, you could have made $640 million in the last 4 years.
Well, no, I don't think I would ever have married the soon-to-be president's daughter. Well, plus his dad was a big enough crook anyway, right? The guy just got pardoned?
Yes.
So it's not like it's a...
You're talking about Jared's dad.
Yeah.
Not Ivanka's dad.
Well, he might be a crook, too. Well, it depends on how you define crook.
Maybe. Anyway.
Well, there's the Richard Milhouse Nixon definition that I am not a crook, and if the president does it, it can't be illegal.
Right. But at least Nixon had a conscience.
Yes, he did.
Wasn't he acquitted? And plus, Nixon was a brilliant man. Didn't he win some huge Supreme Court case when he was like a nobody out of California against some huge Boston or New York firm?
I don't remember if he won a Supreme Court case. I do know that he was the main partner of a firm called Mitch and Mudge Rose in New York, which was one of the old line bond firms in New York City. It was a general practice firm, a large general practice firm, but it was also one of the premier municipal bond firms in the nation for many, many years.
Really?
Yeah.
Where did he
go? There was another guy who was a part of that firm. What was his name? Oh, yeah, Mitchell. Remember some guy named Mitchell in the Nixon administration?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was another partner there.
Well, you see the connections between these people. I was stunned when one of the listeners sent me. You know, the thing of it is, my people here have told me basically I couldn't run this stuff off anymore because for a while I had like so much stuff you've seen piled up, and because I would never figure I could find it again on the net. So now I just read stuff and I can't put my fingers on a piece of paper again. But it had to do with where Trump got all his financing when he got in trouble. It had to do with it was a big history of Trump's dealing with Deutsche Bank.
Deutsche Bank is the one that kept him afloat.
But didn't one of the private equity firms that lent him a bunch of money to get him enough to where Deutsche Bank gave him the dough, wasn't that Munchkin's place after he left Goldman?
I don't remember that. I just remember the connection with Deutsche Bank, that there was a time, I think it was in the 90s, late 90s, mid to late 90s, where everything was going into the tubes, and Deutsche Bank bailed out Trump.
But it was the weirdest part was, I think I sent it to you, maybe you probably have a better recollection than me, it had to do with one part of the bank was severing ties with them, and the other part of the bank gave them the new loan?
Right. I do remember that. There was a divergence in the bank, and one side said, you know, we're in too deep already. We've got to keep this guy afloat.
Yeah.
And the other side said, no, we've got to cut our losses.
Now, I'm going to say, since your memory is better than mine.
By the way, Nixon went to the same law school as Lou Michaels. Duke.
Really?
That's right.
Boy, how many Quakers do you think they have in Duke in those days? Couldn't be very many.
There weren't very many Quakers in politics either.
No. Are they pretty much still a Pennsylvania group, or they got a group in California? He grew up in California.
Well, they obviously have a group in California because of Nixon, or did at that time. Now, I think there are small pockets of Quakers all over the country, but I always think of them primarily as Pennsylvania people.
Yeah, me too. Anywho, but the... No, where was I going with it? Yeah, but didn't we talk, Matty? And if we did, we probably talked about it with Brendan. Didn't we talk about this Trump stealing all the water from the city like 8 years ago, Matty?
I think so. I don't know.
How is it that the judge just is outraged yesterday? He just got a huge.
Oh, you mean with the city of Chicago water, with 20 million gallons a day?
Yeah,
that did come up several years ago with Trump. I think this might be part of the same lawsuit. That was challenging him because he wasn't using the correct filters and was exceeding the limits that he had agreed to or that his company had agreed to for Trump Tower.
I don't know if they ever agreed to anything. They just took what they wanted.
Well, I think there was an agreement with the city of Chicago as to how much use they could have and what types of controls they needed to have to avoid polluting a river. You know, when it was recycled, went back out into the river after.
How do you
Trump Tower?
How do you pollute the pollution?
Now the Chicago River is much better now than it was 30 years ago, 40 years ago. I remember I used to work at the merchandise mart in between semester breaks, moving furniture around there, and we used to sit outside on the deck. Looking at the Chicago River, and you could almost walk across the river from one side to the other. It was so polluted. It has come a long way since then.
First of all, you're one of these old line Democrats, and now you're giving us a falsehood.
What's that?
It is not the Chicago River. It is a drainage canal.
I wasn't aware of that.
Why do you think that they're the only
I thought the drainage canal was the old I&M canal at the other end of the Chicago River, but I thought it wasn't. I thought the Chicago River was a river.
It was, according to the Clean Water Act of 1970-something, the reason why the, long story, I'll make it real short here. Let's put it this way. If you dump a bunch of crap in the river, and I mean literal crap, and you just send it downstream, essentially it'll clean itself up because bacteria in the world, there's bacteria that loves to eat, I'll use the term crap, right? So eventually it will clean itself up. Dilution. So with the Chicago, it actually was an engineering marvel of the world at the time. With the Chicago.
They reversed the river.
Well, no, but they also, their treatment centers, when they took the water from basically people's toilets and houses, and dumped them into these you know, whatever you call them, plant cleanup plants, and they would put in massive amounts of the bacteria that essentially naturally occur that eat stuff, you know, if a moose poops in a river, basically. So you would actually bring the process forward to where you would clean up all the bad stuff that's in the water, but you would still be left with that bacteria, and you jettison that into the river. Every other city, like Philadelphia or anything, that started to do this after we did, they have a way where they clean that bacteria up before it all gets back in the water. That's why you can swim in whatever river that was Philadelphia. You can't swim in this, even now. And so the reason why they got around that, they got grandfathered in the Clean Water Act by describing the city not as a river, but as a drainage canal. So they didn't have to clean up the bacteria before they put it back in a river or canal.
All right, so let me understand this. You're saying the Chicago River is not a river because of a definition in federal regulations. You're shifting to being Mr. Government. Whatever the government says is the truth.
What I'm saying is the reason why it was so dirty and still sort of is, you're still under, if you land in it, you're supposed to go to the hospital right away.
Mm-hmm.
Even now. Not as bad as it was, you're right. But the lady in my neighborhood who's a kayaker, she says that after a storm, you're still going by that stuff you want to be paddling through. The overflows and everything, it's pretty bad. Anyway,
oftentimes with the big storms, they open up the sewers and the floodgates into the river so that it goes back into the lake.
Hey, you know, I got a question for you. The thing we're ragging on poor Kevin because he sent us out this thing about the minimum wage. How do you, and again, it gets back to me saying I wish I never went to grad school a lot of times. How do you get away with, whenever you write an article, and this thing is very in-depth, typical government piece of crap that's very in-depth, but you don't know what they're talking about. How do you not put your assumptions on the top of the page? Now, if you start talking about what a minimum wage is going to do for you in the next 10 years, don't you need some kind of assumptions in there about what your inflation assumptions are or what this is?
You absolutely do.
But they don't. They just rattle off with their conclusions.
Mm-hmm.
If we start having an 8-10% inflation, the raise, they've got the wages going up, what, about 8% a year? How that even does anything to anybody?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't do anything.
No, I agree. That's a valid point, that when you're talking about movement, especially economic movement, you've got to put in your assumptions to have any credibility or to be able to question the credibility of the decisions.
And once the Dems are done raising taxes, right now, as bad as it is, I mean, it's actually a royal pain if you do stuff for people who, I'm going to say, Brendan, if you have somebody like mow your lawn every week.
Mm-hmm.
Once you pay somebody over $600, if you plan on deducting it,
you gotta have a W-9 for them.
You have a W-9. No, you don't. It's the other one. It's a 1099.
Or 1099, sorry.
But I mean, they immediately owe 15%.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna say, in 2 years, with these guys in office, even these guys are gonna figure out they don't have any money. Right, so you're gonna end up raising Social Security, you're gonna end up raising the unemployment tax. That number is going to be 20. So right out of the gate, even if somebody's making $15 an hour, three of it's going to the federal government. If they're not even talking state income tax, and we're not even talking about if that person has another job, makes it up to the level where they have to pay income tax. So this is getting so regressive. So some poor guy, you give him $20 a week to cut your grass. At the end of the summer, you say, "Yeah, I made it. I gave you $1,000," and the guy doesn't have a penny in his pocket. All of a sudden, he owes the government $200.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is getting now. Here, I'm just reading about the these guys. This is why I should never have gone to grad school. Milton Friedman predicted all this stuff. He said, "Whenever you have inflation moving and you start making, you know, just printing money," he says, "it feels so good, especially if you delude yourself into thinking that you're not doing any damage." Now the Democrats are over, they want to do a $3,600 per child for family thing for the year, now for a couple of years. And they also want to do, they want to take care of $50,000 of debt for everybody who's got a student loan. Now, I don't see how the hell, is this Remember the commercial with the little pig that just ran along and saying wee as he ran around in the car. I mean, what is with these people? It's when people look at the debt rates of like now versus World War II,
mm-hmm.
and they say, okay, would the country had this much in debt versus GDP versus now? Brennan, they're not apples to apples. They're apples to oranges, because in World War II, you actually went out and borrowed the money from citizens. So what was an asset on citizens' balance sheet was a liability on the government's balance sheet. It netted out to zero. I know you understand what I'm saying, but now that's not what they're doing. They're not borrowing the money. They're printing the money.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just the Treasury's deficit. It's the Federal Reserve's deficit. It's a whole different brand of bond.
I'd also say there was another difference between now and World War II and what we manufactured and what we sold as far as goods.
Well, yeah. I mean, all that's part of it. But what I'm saying is right now they have no intention of coming up with this money and going out and borrowing it from people and spending mm-hmm. it. They're just going to – the Fed's going to print out $2 trillion. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, they have no intention, because otherwise if you went out and borrowed the money, all you're doing is moving the consumption from one to the other. Here they're, mm-hmm. but if you say to yourself, if I just double the money out there, and if Brendan's got $50 in his pocket, now he's got 100, does anybody think that accomplishes anything? How do they get from there to this?
Yeah, well, that sounds like a big start of inflation, but it also sounds like you're making an argument for the gold standard. You can't have more money until you've got more gold to back it up.
Well, the problem with that is that every time somebody was stressed, they went off the gold standard.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we went off it in the Civil War, right? We went off it as soon as Vietnam happened, right? That's when we went off it at the end and never went back on. Whenever you got stressed, because mm-hmm. remember, get a load of this, Matty. Remember the name? I'm sure you weren't around when the guy was still alive. Charles de Gaulle used to totally piss us off because the dollar still had the printed rate of 35 hours. Gold was 35 hours an ounce. Okay, that was the printed number when we were on the gold standard, right, Brendan?
Yes.
And even after the dollar, if you looked at the amount of gold we had versus the amount of dollars, it was say 75 hours. I mean, it wasn't like now, but it was bad compared to the 35. Well, de Gaulle would actually show up with like a ship, and he'd say, all right, here's five, you know, it wasn't a billion in those days, but here's like $30 million. I want my gold. Remember you used to do that? Remember you used to do that, Brendan?
Yeah.
And we'd be all pissed off, and they'd give it to him. But obviously, he was getting one hell of a deal. Because,
mm-hmm.
and I'm gonna kick up my clock page here. I think now the amount of gold they have versus the amount of dollars is like 3,000 to one. It's not 30 bucks.
Wow.
I'll get the exact number here if I can find it on this debt clock thing. But I mean, what are these, where is the adult in the room that says at some point you gotta stop this, Brennan?
Unfortunately, I think that would take a reconciliation on the side of both parties to both first agree on the facts and then agree on a plan moving forward. And unfortunately, I think we're too polarized to really look at that from a political standpoint.
Dollar to gold ratio, $34,612 per ounce.
Oof.
Now that's a number.
That's a real number.
But why, when you have people like, a couple of guys, well, I'm going to say one of those guys might happen to be our producer, who actually has paid off all his student debt. I'm not talking out of school here, Maddie, but Maddie came out with a debt.
Congratulations, Maddie.
But now...
Thank you.
I paid off mine, too.
Well, what was it? Was it $48 in 1948? Just saying, though. Do you know how many people... I don't know too many people who came out with student debt more than a couple of grand, Brendan. Do you?
No, I don't. Certainly nothing... Certainly, I mean, in our day, we could probably go through 4 years of college and a year, maybe more, of graduate school or law school for less debt than what somebody has now for 1 or 2 years of school.
The University of Chicago, my entire 2 years, I truncated it because I went in the summer, so say I had five regular quarters and one summer quarter, I think it was $6,200 or something. And I think one class now is $6,500. So one class out of the 20 you have to take is more than my entire education was.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't tell me that the professors are making 20 times more. Because I don't think they are. Because I don't think they are. Anyway, why, but in other words, if there is such a thing as a moral hazard, all right, and the people who paid theirs off, why not just say, all right, look, we've charged these people an average of 6%. There's always the government piece, and then there's the other piece, right? Don't they average out about 6, Manny? I mean, there's one at like 4.5 and one more or something. I don't know. But say it's 6. Why not just say, in the last 10 years, everybody's overpaid by a percent and a half, however largesse you want to be, and just return everybody their, either credit somebody with a current loan, for the percent or percent and a half on the loan balance, and somebody who did pay it off, say last year, ahead of somebody who hasn't paid it off, why don't you just rebate them 1% on the interest he paid?
Mm-hmm.
So that way you keep it clean for anybody, everybody, and so nobody can bitch at you. I mean, not to mention it's fair because the interest rate is just too high. I think in addition to, you know, the loan being high, but I mean, there's ways to do this, and we don't seem to ever want to do that. We always seem like we want to create controversy and keep people's eye off the. Do you believe how much of this Biden's plan, the amount of, I'll say, the jaw jagging on TV, is about who's going to get this check, and that's not, I won't say a minuscule amount, but a minor amount of the total bill, and nobody has the ability, because you have no knowledge of who the hell is getting all the rest of the money, so you can complain about them. I mean, these guys are pretty slick. Is it? You think this is all choreographed out, Brendan?
I do think that there's a lot of waste in the bill, and there's a lot of room that can be compromised to get to a lower number. How much is scripted out in advance, or how cynical you want to be, is up for debate.
Well,
but I also want to ask you a couple of different questions.
Sure.
I mean, I know there's a serious discussion here, but what about Loyola making the top 25? That's a question for both you and Manny.
Well, the question for Manny is, are they going to take two people from that league into the NCAA? They've never done it before, have they, Manny?
From the league, or from the team?
No, from that league to make the NCAA tournament is a good question.
Because Drake is undefeated, right?
They just lost their first game a couple of days ago. But, yeah, Drake was ranked and were undefeated, like 17-0 or something like that, before they lost their first game the other night. Loyola is having a great year and is a top 20 net team. So I think they're in no matter what, even if they lose. The Missouri Valley very rarely gets more than one team. They've done it before, but very rarely.
But this year you've got teams like Duke and Kentucky that aren't doing very well.
Yeah, Duke and Kentucky, as they stand right now, Kentucky, unless they win their conference tournament, if there is a conference tournament, they're not making the tournament. They're below 500. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're horrific. Duke is on the bubble. As it stands right now, they would not be in. They could still play their way back in. Carolina is in right now, but they're not a high seed. Kansas is out of the top 25 for the first time in 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
They're still a tournament team, but they're nowhere near what they normally are. It's just been a really weird year. Just, you know, I mean, it's been a weird year for everything. But yeah, Loyola's having a great season. They have their big guy in the middle is probably the Missouri Valley Player of the Year. I mean, that guy's fantastic, and they're fun to watch.
I mean, last time they were good, which wasn't that long ago, they had
4 years ago.
Well, they had one kid who ended up being like a lot better than he was supposed to be, and didn't a couple of guys he played with in either in high school league or in his high school didn't like where they were and came and transferred back to Loyola and kind of made a team out of it. Now, are these guys all just Loyola recruits, or is the same sort of thing happen?
I think these are all Loyola recruits. There might have been one transfer. I'm not sure if there's one transfer, but I think they're all guys that Moser brought in.
Okay, so they were freshmen at Loyola. I mean, and he was able to do that. Wow.
Yeah, well, currently the guy in the middle was on that Final Four team.
Oh, was he a freshman?
He was a freshman when they made the Final Four.
Oh, all right. I did not know that, but he's very active.
He's the last guy on the team from that Final Four team, but he's still there leading the way, and he's changed his game. But the other guys are all, I think, have been brought in by Porter Moser, who, interestingly enough, he's in the Pat Fitzgerald mode, that they're staying with their local schools out of loyalty. You know, he was given a chance to move up to a really big school and passed it over to stay at Loyola, just like Fitz has passed up his NFL chances to stay at Northwestern.
I always thought DePaul, after Moser had the run, you know, 4 years ago, that DePaul should have offered him a bunch of money to go there. And he could stay in Chicago, wouldn't have to move his family, and he could be in a power, you know, a major conference and maybe turn that program around. And meanwhile, DePaul is just still an embarrassment. And Loyola's back in the tournament, it looks like, unless anything crazy happens. And no one will want to play them because they'll guard you and they can make a run again.
Well, how likely is it for them to?
In DePaul's case, it was just Jeannie Pansetto that didn't want to make that kind of move. She was still there at that time.
Yeah.
Well, what makes you think that Loyola is not going to move up to the Big East? They don't play football, and the Big East doesn't play football.
That would be interesting. I mean, I would love
that. That would be interesting.
Yeah, I would love that. I don't know if the Big East would allow two Chicago teams. Maybe they would.
Would they? Is the you know, I don't know that much about Loyola other than our friend Russell teaches there. I mean, do they have all the other sports, girls softball, and other stuff that all the teams in the Big East have?
I don't know how many teams they have, but they don't have the full slate of teams that many other colleges do. Do you remember George Ireland, who used to be the athletic director of Loyola?
Well, he was a coach forever, too.
He his sole purpose was basketball, and he wound up getting LaRue Martin drafted number one in the NBA back in, like, 70 or 71. Or, I mean, 73 or 74, 75, something like that. But he limited the number of teams that Loyola had on the collegiate level to the bare minimum. I think at that time they needed five teams to qualify for Division One. Basketball was obviously number one. The other four teams were men's track, men's cross country, men's swimming, and men's water polo. And, you know, they didn't have women's teams at the time, so don't harp on that. But that way he could use the same athletes for both track and cross country, because one was a spring sport, one was a fall sport. He could use the same athletes for swimming and water polo and keep his basketball team intact.
Was he the he was the coach for the 63 team, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
They won the NCAA later. They went to the Final Four.
They won the NCAA. They beat Cincinnati and Oscar Robertson.
There was a boy. I tell you what. Out of all the name is forgotten by just about everybody, but I don't see how you keep the Big O out of the top five.
Mm-hmm.
He was you know, whatever.
Well, didn't he average a triple double when he was in the NBA?
Yeah. Yeah. He did, and pretty amazing. And he was on but by the time he won the title when he was on Milwaukee, I mean, he was kind of creaking, but he was still good.
Yeah, yep.
Well, Brent, talk to you next week, bud. Have a good one. Stay.
Thank you for letting me get the plug in about Loyola.
Oh, no problem, bud. S&P futures down 450. S&P futures down 10. Be right back. We have Joel O'Connor. We'll talk a little bit about Michigan football, and we'll talk about the market. Be back.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Harrell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Ali, just from over the board. S&P futures down, down, down after how many days in a row up? Dow futures down 51, Nasdaq futures down 9, not down very much. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX down 56.4%. They've been on a tear to the upside as well. Still over 14,000, though, 14,003. FTSE up 2, call that flat. Techron up 1, call that flat. In Asia, we've got Nikkei up again, 117.4%. Shanghai up 71. That's a full 2%. Hang Seng up 156.5%. We're not sure exactly why they're up that much, but they are. They seem to be doing a little bit better, or at least saying they are. Bonds, 1.15, so their 10-year yield is actually down a little bit. Bond minus 0.44, was down to minus point, up to minus 0.42. Japan, positive 0.068. Again, that's pretty high for them, and, well, historically the last 10 years, even though it's still pretty low as an interest rate. Oil up 3 cents, 58 bucks. Brent up 13 cents, 60.69. Natural gas down 5 cents, 282. Although I think people are using a lot of natural gas in this cold spell. RBOB unchanged at 167. We've got gold up another 10 bucks, 1844, so back up in the middle part of the range here. Silver up 13 cents, 2771. Copper up 3 cents, 370. Platinum up 20 bucks, 1195. And I guess we got to give the crypto. Bitcoin up 2700 bucks, 46,353. As Elon Musk said, his company bought $1.5 billion. Man, do you think that was board approved or did that on his own? How do you spend $1.5 billion on another currency when you're an auto company? Just kind of curious.
Good question.
What do you got for us, Trevi Weather Sports?
37 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. One crash in the area after a very busy morning yesterday, a little quieter today, but down on I-80 on the westbound side. It looks like at the Torrance Avenue exit, which is on the Illinois side of the border, we have a crash that's causing some congestion and a significant slowdown on the westbound side. So keep that in mind on 80-94 just before Torrance. That's exit number 161. No issues on the Ryan, I-57 of the Bishop Ford. Stevenson looking good. That water main break from yesterday is all clear. Eisenhower has been quiet. Same for the Edens and Kennedy. We did get 2 to 5 inches of snow yesterday afternoon and evening, depending upon where you were in the area. So a lot of the side streets are unplowed, so keep that in mind as you're heading out this morning. But not affecting the expressways at this hour. Weather today, another freezing cold day. Partly cloudy skies with a high of 16. Wind chills in the single digits. Right now it is clear and 6 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunny with a high of 75 today. Right now it's clear and 46. In sports, the Bulls struggled early and came back late, but it wasn't enough as they fell to Washington at home 105-101. Suns beat the Cavs 119-113. In hockey, Blackhawks were off. They're at the Stars tonight looking for their second straight win. That's a 7:30 p.m. Chicago time puck drop. Coyotes beat the Blues 4-3. Chief.
The headline here, Joel on India, is they might ban private cryptocurrencies and develop a national digital coin. Isn't a national digital coin like a regular coin that a country has?
Oh boy, oh boy! You're talking to a stock and futures guy. I have no idea what they're doing over there. I know that there was another a kind of a potential short squeeze in one of their stocks over there that came unraveled. I believe that was in Malaysia. But Bitcoin is hot. Mr. Musk spent $1.5 billion, makes it a little bit more mainstream currency. Saying that you'll also be able to use it purchase Teslas. So it had had like 20, 25 days of just hanging out in the 30,000 handle. I was looking for a catalyst, and it got it with that. Now trading strong up again here. So Bitcoin approaching 50,000.
Well, my question to you is, why do a couple of old farts like us constantly look for value in stock prices when here's something that has absolutely zero value and it goes up every day?
You just exactly what you said, which is, I have a small amount of money invested in it. I've traded it. It's limited supply, and we're old school, Chief, but it's moving. The trend, it's traded technically. It's really the only way you can trade it. Fundamentally, who knows what's going to happen with the U.S. debt, with inflation. People are looking for an alternative. And, the Merck took it on as a contract, a futures contract, and a couple years ago. And the big contract, fully margined. But really not much to say about it, Chief. I incredible move, and probably going to continue, in my opinion.
Well, but it's... The only difference is it's not worth as much as a tulip.
Yeah, that is correct, Chief. That is correct.
So how does the Merck, I don't want to spend too much time on this, what happens, how can they deliver it?
Deliver the cash.
Well, they deliver the cash.
You deliver cattle or hogs or pigs or whatever, called in, or you're holding the futures contract, or if you sold it, then you got to deliver the actual currency. I mean, I think it probably doesn't differ from the way other commodities and bonds and those things are traded.
I just don't know how that would run through the Merck system. Let's not worry about that. What do you think about the rest of the market? With the how much money are we going to give out to people? Now we're talking 50 grand, everybody was student loan. We're talking about 3,600 per kid. We're
unlimited. It's unlimited, Chief. I mean, not a surprise. It's keeping the market afloat. Our economy's supposed to be doing okay, but this is what, the government feels that they need to do to, to get the economy through 2021. It's, it's free money for us, not for all, but what they're doing, what they can. Nothing's been, passed yet. What they're doing to keep the economy going, and just it starts with the Fed, and I made up this a while ago, being facetious, pumping Powell. I mean, he just keeps pumping money into it, and it really doesn't look like it's going to stop anytime soon.
It'll stop, and I just hope it's not a bad day when it does.
Yeah, it will. It will. And the sports, you get the. The GOAT, Brady, 7-3 in Super Bowls. There was a call, what happened with, Andy Reese's son and stuff. I mean, I think that definitely had an impact on Kansas City performance, a terrible thing, and, kind of took some of the fun out of the game. But, Brady looked good coming back, Michigan basketball. They're back practicing, hopefully going to have a game in another week or so. But I'm really worried about the layoff, not so much physically, but mentally, not playing for that long. Moved up to number 3 in the country. But, man, I hope they don't lay an egg the first couple games they're back. Your rhythm, you're off for that long. I think it's hard to get it back.
Are the kids in Michigan, are they in school, the general student population?
I do not believe so. I do not believe so. I mean, it's changing. I don't know. The virus or the vaccine rollout is not going as expected. A lot of virtual learning going on all over the place.
And it's kind of bizarre
what
world.
What fun can that be? I mean, right?
Oh, I know. Well, you're paying for it, too. I mean, the at one of the places here in Illinois, Naperville, I call it Napertucky, they haven't had the kids in school, and they sent everybody, what did they send? Maybe everybody sent $300 back on your taxes because they'd have to heat the buildings or have the janitors and stuff, and I don't know if that $300 makes that much difference, but, I mean, I don't know. So
universities are going to, I mean, it is, it's going to be tough for these large institutions. I mean, you know, now, you know, the budgets and everything, Michigan Athletic Department was able to squeak out $11 million profit. I don't know how the hell they did that with no football. Man, oh man, that's something you got to worry about, you know, a little bit farther on down the line. But hopefully everyone gets vaccinated and, you know, back to school next fall, same routine, college football games, and everything just picks up where it left off.
That would be nice. I don't see that happening because I mean, it looks to me like a lot of people, if they vaccinate everybody tomorrow, they still want people to wear masks and socially distance.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've been talking about this, you know, since the start of the pandemic. Usually, you know, last at least a year. You know, we're coming up on that year point. So, but, you know, good news with that, you know, with the vaccines from several different companies, I wish they could accelerate the rollout a little bit. I sure like to get mine and, you know, get back to, you know, swimming and doing things as normal. But just have, my number hasn't come up yet.
Well, you're an old fart. Why not?
Not that old, Chief. It's really the nursing homes, the elderly people, yeah. 65. So I'm signed up everywhere. I'll let you know when I get in.
My advice from yesterday, one of the listeners is, call the Walgreens about dinner time. They might have some left because people don't.
Yeah,
show up.
I also heard like some of the nursing homes when they have the extra doses of if you show up there, you can get them, but. You know, what are you
going
to do?
Yeah, I know.
Drive around the nursing homes all day. Doesn't sound like a high probability trade to me.
No, it doesn't. Anyway, good luck to you on that. And SP, okay. Talk to you next week. SP Futures down 4, NASDAQ Futures down 9. Right back, Mr. Kenny Pulcheri.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of HomeSource Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. Do you know when the unofficial start of real estate season is in the Chicago area? It's actually right after the Super Bowl. Yep, it's the time when the guys will finally get off the couch and the families start looking for homes in the area. Now, interest rates also have been hovering around 4%, and the selection of properties are great. And if you're a first-time home buyer, there is an Illinois program that allows you to purchase a home for only 1% down. And that also applies to anyone who hasn't owned a home in the past 3 years. So if you're thinking about it, this is the perfect time. Call or email me, and I will send you a free list of homes designed to your specifications in your area. My phone number is 708-349-3456, or you can email me, AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com. That's AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now.
I thought I heard the captain say,
pay me my money down. Tomorrow is our sailing day. Pay me my money down.
Hello and welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howell. He's Mr. Matt Warman, the board. If Kenny Pulcari was singing that song, he'd say, Captain is, says abandon ship. How are you, Kenny?
I'm good. How are you?
All right, S&P Futures down 6. What the hell? Buy the dip, Kenny. Buy the dip.
I know. I'm going to call the S&P police. I can't even believe that in negative territory. What's that all about?
I think
down 6 and down 30 on the Dow, down, 15 on the NASDAQ. That is absolutely zero. Nothing to write home about. Nothing to even have a conversation about. European markets are off just as small as they just continue to digest, right? What you really want to see, what I would love to see, I'd love to see the market collapse by 5 or 7% in like one day. I want it to happen. I want it to happen faster because that'll make people stand up and take notice and readjust and go, oh, maybe this isn't, all a bed of roses. But I don't think we're going to get there right now. The more people think that it's going to happen, and I'll be at the top of that list because I've been saying it's going to happen for a while. I thought it was actually going to happen last week when you started to see it rumble a little bit. Is the more people think it's going to happen, is it won't happen, right? Because everyone's just waiting, and the higher it goes, then all of a sudden you get people just throwing the towel, and that's when it's going to happen. When you throw in the towel and you go, okay, I can't stand it anymore, I'm missing out on this trade, you're going to buy it right at the top, and then boom, it's going to come right back in. So I'm being patient. Look, and I said this before, it's not like I'm not in the market. I am. So if the market goes higher, great, I'm participating. I'm not feeling left out. I'm not feeling like I'm missing the party. I'm in there. I'm doing the right thing. I'm just waiting. I'm just waiting for it to back off.
I honestly feel that I'm missing the party for me and my clients. Not the normal party, the one where, the protected program that I usually run, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
We've done very well considering the fact that we are protected and we're paying for the protection. But the idea of the stock I never heard of that 3 weeks ago was $3 and is now 50. I'm totally missing that party.
Yeah, no, I hear you. But I think some of that is also the fluff, right? Because I think those stocks that make those moves like that, when the hit comes, when the market backs off, those are the ones that are going to get hit the hardest. So I think you'll get your opportunity. But yes, I would agree with you. It is frustrating to see names like that. Suddenly they come out of nowhere and they're up, 100% or 150%. You scratch your head and go, what do they even do?
And the answer is they don't do anything half the time. I mean, I love the fact, Kenny, that you sense there's something amiss, but yep. Somehow or another, you're still hoping for the rationale that somehow or another we can correct 5 or 8 or 10%, and people will come to their senses, and all of a sudden things will be okay again. And by the way, from your lips to God's ear, but the more I've been going back, and I shouldn't do this because all it does is aggravate myself, aggravate me. I go back to what happened in the late 60s, 70s, and by the time the idiots that we have, not idiots because they're making money off it, by the time enough bad stuff happens to change policy, it won't be a 5 or 10% correction. In those days, it was 14 years before the market came back to where it was before.
I hear you loud and clear, and that is clearly a concern, because I do agree with you. Because when I think the correction comes, it will be bigger than the 5 and 7%. But I think the 5 and 7%, if it comes, it'll shake people enough to say, wait. Some of this stuff is way out of line. Let's recalibrate and take a look at exactly what we got and where it is. Because I do think that the correction could actually be bigger. And I think that's going to happen. What's going to change is the narrative coming out of the Fed. It's not going to be about the virus. It's not going to be about the vaccine. It's not even going to be about stimulus, because we know they're going to jam $1.9 trillion through. But it's going to be a change in the narrative coming from the Fed. And I don't know about anybody else, but when I listen to the latest FOMC meetings, they leave the door wide open. They go, yeah, we're not changing anything, but we're leaving this door open just in case we have to change. And to me, all that says is get ready, because suddenly it's going to change and the market goes into that temper tantrum that it does, because it doesn't get what it wants. Everyone gets a trophy generation. They don't understand it and they don't get it. And so we'll see.
Well, I think that what again, this is a prediction that I sure as I hope doesn't happen, is I think that you look at this last week versus the week before.
Yep.
I'm going to say, Kenny, simplistically, 2 weeks ago, people thought, because the Republicans came up with the competing plan that was, what, $700 billion, $800 billion, something like that?
Yeah.
That the full $1.9 trillion of made-up money wasn't going to come into the place. So the market basically had a poop. And then all of a sudden they said, oh, no, we're not going to go with that plan, Romney's plan, or anybody. The full $1.9 trillion's coming out. And all of a sudden we're up again. I mean,
that's exactly what I mean. The minute it doesn't hear what it wants to hear, it goes into a hissy fit. Remember, you know, last year, a year and a half ago, whatever it was, when the Fed, before the Fed went back into reverse, when they were trying to, you know, when they were trying to move higher on rates by 0.25%, remember how every time they did that, every time the talk went that way, suddenly the market, you know, they threw a hissy fit, and the market went into a tantrum. And how many headlines did we see about, you know, a tantrum and how, you know, the market wasn't happy with what it heard? Right away, they go back and they regroup and they reclassify and they redefine and they tell everybody, don't worry. Well, guess what? At some point, you can't just keep rates at zero. You can't just keep printing money, and you can't tell everybody it's going to be all right. And I think that day, you know, listen, I hope I'm pushing up daisies when that day comes.
Yeah, I think what we're both saying, you more than me, is that this will be a correction, and somehow or another, we'll get our act back together, and it'll come back the other way. What I'm saying is, once the thing changes, I think that a solid 40% of the market and 90% of Bitcoin is extra fluff money. If all of a sudden the population, and this will happen real quick, because there's still, and this, you know, you look at the Trump phenomenon and how the people just couldn't stand in Washington. Look at the amount of people that felt they were thrown out of jobs, or people got money they shouldn't have instead of them. I mean, the whole middle class. I mean, it's not that people like Trump. They just hated all the rest of the people, I think. But, so, and he was an alternative. A bad one, but an alternative. And right now, if you ever used to, I look at the what I consider to be the lower, the middle class, you start putting 10 or 12% inflation rate on somebody who hasn't got a raise in 20 years. I can't imagine. I just hope it's not an armed revolution, for God's sake. Because all of a sudden, you're not going to be like Powell in 2018, the last quarter, when he started to withdraw some money. What, Trump and dragged him to the White House, and whether they waterboarded him or paddled him, I don't know what happened, but he came out, and look at the difference since that meeting. They must have threatened his family, for God's sake, and I say it tongue in cheek. But have you ever seen a change in policy after one meeting like that?
I mean, No, I haven't.
And all of a sudden, it's been just, well, how much you want, Mr. President, and just print it. And it doesn't matter which president it is. Well, someday, everybody's going to say, this is all fluff. This is nothing. Everything I have of value now is half of what it was. Or, I mean, when I have to buy something. Now, if you have a house and it's going up every day, you're okay. If you got,
right.
You know, if you've got stocks, you're okay. But
right.
Not everybody has that. And I think you're going to end up, you know, we had a big thing. I don't know if we sent it out to you, Kenny. The budget office review of my conservative guys are all over this minimum wage increase, right? Isn't it amazing that everybody will bitch about the minimum wage and the checks for people that maybe don't deserve them? And nobody, you can't even do it. Nobody has the wherewithal to dig through how much we're going to pay for masks and how much we're going to do for other people. The amount of money we're giving to the inside crowd is so different. I mean, it's so much greater than we're given to the guy down the block that maybe doesn't deserve the mask or the minimum wage. And yet nobody cares. You can't even talk about it because you don't even know what it is. You don't know who's getting it. Right? So
I hear you.
But I'm saying when this happens, if this collapses and it turns out that the money in there is just way too much over value, it's not going to be a 6 month 8% return where you and I get to buy stock 8% lower in April, and at the end of the year we're okay. It's not going to be that if they go too far, and they're very dangerously going there. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think you think I am.
Well, listen, I hope you're wrong too. I hope you're wrong too, but you know, we'll see. It is what it is, and then it's going to be interesting to see over the next, you know, over these next couple of weeks. Because look, I really thought people were going to wake up, and you know, the market is priced all the stuff in. It's priced in the stimulus. It's priced in all these conversations. It's priced in the vaccine and the virus. And it's pr-
price the declining deaths and infections and get that. It's priced it all in, but and so therefore the model is priced at perfection. So I thought, okay, it's got to take a breather. And they keep pushing it higher. They keep talking about the recovery trade. Oh my God! Look at oil. Oil went from 38. It's now trading. It's kissing $60 a barrel.
Right.
I've been screaming about it, you know, because when they were saying, "Oh, demand destruction, blah blah blah," the virus is around. I'm going, you know, people are crazy because when the world reopens up, demand is going to absolutely surge, and oil is going to go higher. I've been screaming that since November, when it hit the bottom, and now look where it's trading. It's up 60% since November. It's up 23% since January, and it's only going higher. Just wait till they open the doors and people start to travel again and fly on planes and go on cruise ships. What, do they all run on the planes and both run on solar power? I don't think so.
Well, but Kenny,
therefore, energy is going to be a huge demand, and it's clear. Look what's happening.
Well, but you don't want to. Well, I do, I guess, if you got advertisers, but you can't be like neither of us. Be like CNBC, and when you pour money into the system, you can say, "Oh man, oil's going up today, or gold's going up tomorrow." It's all about the gorilla in the room. It's just going to keep spitting out. It's like silly putty. It's going to keep popping out in a different place every day. But that's, I mean, what did Milton Friedman say? Inflation is always and every time a monetary phenomenon, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be. Hell, when's the last time you went out for breakfast? How do you like the $14 omelet?
Not even a $14 omelet. I got a wrap. I got scrambled eggs, bacon, cheese, and a spinach wrap, right? And a wrap. And it was $15.25, and it was across the street, and I'm sitting there going to myself, what the hell did I just order? It was an egg sandwich in a spinach wrap. Are you kidding me?
Well, the $12 hamburger is in every place. I mean, it's about 30% more money into the system in the last 14 months.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, when they say, listen, the weaker dollar certainly doesn't help U.S. consumers, because obviously the weaker dollar for us hurts us, right? It's great for the multinationals. It's great for, you know, watch what happens when all these multinationals come back and they start reporting earnings, you know, next quarter and a quarter after that, because when they convert their strong euros into dollars, they got more dollars that flows right to the bottom line, and they all look like heroes. So make sure, as part of your protection, you got a bunch of multinationals, think like Coke and Pepsi and McDonald's and, you know, all the big American blue chips, but they will do well as the dollar gets crushed, because they'll convert their earnings into dollars, and boom, look at us, look at all the money we made. So there's another way to protect yourself, I'm just saying, but it's so frustrating.
Kenny, we got to let you go, but one quick one. This reminds me, we had a seminar many, many years ago when we had a whole bunch of people, they actually were pretty high up in the government from Mexico that were here, the seminar, and then one of those nights, the Mexican government devalued the currency, sort of like we're doing.
Right.
And I said, well, I really feel bad for you people. And he goes, what are you talking about? We made out like a bandit. I go, what? How'd you do that? Well, we knew it was coming, so we moved our money to dollars the night before. Now we came back. now we're 10% rich. We're 10% richer than the guy next door. So yeah. So I'll be so happy that McDonald's and Coke make a whole bunch of dough instead of us.
I was talking to a buddy last night who lives in New York, who's trying to leave New York, and he was considering coming to Florida. His wife is Brazilian, so then they considered going to Brazil. He said, do you understand what I could buy in Brazil on the ocean that would cost me millions of dollars in Florida? I could buy for $200,000 in Brazil and be right on the ocean just because of the conversion, right, where he's going. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's pretty scary.
Down there. I mean, not necessarily sure you want to live in Brazil.
No, you don't really want to do that. Yeah. I was going to say, you're going to get carjacked in Brazil, but you're going to get carjacked in Chicago. What's the difference?
Yeah, you're getting your carjacked in Florida as well.
Yeah. Well, Kenny, got to get out of that Rolls Royce. You're a target, buddy.
Listen, I'm a Ford man. I always have. I'm a Ford man.
Oh, God. See ya. S&P futures down 7. NASDAQ futures down 15. Be right back. Stocks and Jackson.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices, along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
There's something happening here.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holley, Mr. Matt Weber. S&P Futures down 675. Should have Mr. Jeff Joseph here in a minute. For that, Maddie and I will we'll talk sports. We'll do something, right, Maddie? It's we can do that. The again, I was looking last night with a lot of the stuff, obviously, that we have been talking about today, and the things that are going on in this. This money that's being possibly piled out here is really something. The rescue package, for those that haven't read it, really includes like a really, really lot of money for a lot of people. And it's all seemingly made up money, but it's here's what's in the rescue package: the beefed up stimulus payments that people know about, the $1,400 per person. They're back to the 1400 after being, had been trying to cut it down some, to people with less money and those kinds of things, but it looks like it's gonna be pretty much the same. We're also gonna do enhanced unemployment aid, would boost the jobless received to 400 hours a week from the federal level in addition to the state versus the 300 enhancement that was in the relief package from December. But it also, moves it to September versus, I think it was supposed to end up in like July or something, so it's moved it out and up. So it gives people till maybe the fall. It's also going to have, I don't know how any of this stuff's supposed to work. Rental assistant, Jeff, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good. Good morning to you.
Yeah, save me from reading out the stuff that's in this, relief package, because I can't figure out what the procedure is for any of this stuff. Maybe you do. The plan would provide $25 billion in rental assistance for low and moderate income households who have lost jobs during the pandemic. How do you get that to people in such a way that it helps for their rent? I mean, is it a rent voucher? What is it?
I didn't see that. I only saw the top line. So the delivery mechanism. I think you go to Walgreens or CVS.
Well, that's just an addition to the $25 billion lawmakers provided in December. So let me get this straight. If you're a busboy or something, and you get laid off, and you have a household that's low to moderate income, okay. Now you got, there's $50 billion someplace for you, and how do you go about getting it? I have no idea. And it says here the plan would another $5 billion would set aside to help struggling renters to pay their utility bills. For God's sake, $5 billion is a lot of money. So he's also. And it says it also calling for another $5 billion to help states and localities assist those at risk of experiencing homelessness. We have people all over the place underneath the bridges. They're not doing anything for these people. Why don't we worry about the homeless versus those that are at risk of becoming homeless? I mean, these are huge numbers. They have no detail on. You think?
Yeah, their delivery is going to be a problem. No question.
Right. $25 billion emergency fund and add $15 billion to an existing grant program to help child care providers, including family child care homes, to pay for rent, utilities, and payroll and increased costs associated with the pandemic, like personal protective equipment. How the hell are you going to get personal protective equipment down to somebody who's taking care of a few kids in their own home? How do you even know these people are? They're not even licensed, for God's sake. And then, I mean, I want to know how many fingers are in this pie that are going to get part of this $25 billion. I mean, it's 40 because it's an existing program. $40 billion. Who gets to manage that? Man, oh, man, the slop out of this is something you and I would... We'll take some of the slop.
Sure.
You think? Yeah. For God's sake. I don't know.
It's difficult. Once you move beyond taxpayers and households and start getting into segmented groups, that delivery mechanism doesn't really exist. So you have to create that infrastructure, and then you have to manage it and we have to trust on behalf of government to effectively do that. It's a lot to ask.
Our man Carl, who's
as evident by our difficulty just in vaccine distribution alone, that's simple. These are, the criteria are less. Now, if you're trying to splice and dice according to rental assistance and other vulnerabilities, that just really adds another layer of complexity.
Jeff, I don't know if I ever mentioned it to you, and I'll keep it very brief. As one of my clients had a buddy, and I don't know if you know anything about these old national bearer bonds that countries used to put out there,
sure,
like Mexico and places. And well, I did some. Not that I ever thought I could actually score on one of these things, because I thought they were never going to happen. But I got involved with a couple people. I started talking to people from all over the world that a bunch of pretty much goofballs, of which I was, but I found it entertaining, and it was also very illuminating. Right, there's this entire undercurrent of, shall we say, world commerce that goes on from place to place as people try and bring money to other countries and things like that. And one of the guys told me that if you want to be Bill Gates or Jeff Joska wants to build a water treatment plant in the Sudan or someplace, that unless you have people on the ground, 90% of your dough is going to be siphoned off before it gets to the plant by paying this guy, paying that guy. But if you have people on the ground, you can cut that number down to 50. So if Bill Gates has to almost have an army of people keeping track of his pipe and his generators and all that stuff, or else it's just gone. Now, Carl, as this stuff number, Carl is convinced that in this country, we're getting almost as bad, where every one of these programs, if it's $40 billion, that if 20% of it actually makes it to the child care person and actually buys them a mask, we're doing good. That's how bad it is along the way. And, you can see it from, I'm just saying a name out there that people know. You're like Biden's kid. We're giving money to the Ukraine. All of a sudden, he's in the Ukraine. What's his big job? And being on the board of some place that our people are essentially our carpetbaggers on both sides of the aisle, follow this money all over. You can only imagine what they do domestically. I mean, what do you think that we're up to when the government is paying, $15 to $20 per shot for a vaccine, like you and I talked about in the original deal that Trump's people put together? What do you suppose at the end of the day, it's costing them, even though that's how much the shot costs? I mean. And Walgreens has got some deal. I tried to go on their site, and because one of the guys here in the office is, over 65, and he's all worried about it. He's been out, has been on his house in ages. And I'm not saying he shouldn't be worried about it. I mean, I'd like to see the guy get a vaccine. And you got to end up being a Walgreens preferred company. You got to tell, basically give your appendage size to Walgreens before you're on the. How do they? What do you need that for? I mean, it
really wasn't easy. I know that we also set up an elderly person that needed assistance, and to get them set up through Walgreens was a lot of work. So at first that was anecdotal to me, and then I saw actually what you had to go through to do it, and it took several days. and several attempts. And yeah, it was really unnecessary. That's, it's amazing that that much work was required just to get set up.
Well, it's not like when we were kids, they show up with a polio shot and say, all right, you 1,600 idiots line up, you're getting your polio shot.
Stand
polio
right.
shot. You know, it's,
and we're already aware of pretty widespread, you know, fraud and privilege with respect to the distribution of these drugs, of the vaccine. I'm not, not 65, but I was contacted yesterday that I could obtain a vaccine if I wanted, and I passed on it, but I'm, you know, but I had the opportunity.
I would say normally I'm with you on this, but because of the shelf life of this vaccine, if all of a sudden 20 people at the local Walgreens or whatever don't show up that day rather than throw it out, I'd say go, man.
Yeah, and that's true, and that was the premise as to how this was this was came upon. And it is that when you open up batches by 100, you have to use those 100, and that what this clinic, which is located in another part of the city than where I am, that a friend had me put on this list, said, look, you know, because I asked them the same question. They said, look, we're doing what we can, but if we have 25 doses yet, we'll go out on the street, we'll get homeless people, we'll get people walking by, but sometimes it's difficult for us too. We'd rather have a list of people to call. And that sounded legitimate to me. I just...
Well, New York, you know, New York, they were destroying them. Now, that makes no sense.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, I don't... I mean, I'd say that's... I would not break in line either, and I think you have the same morals, but if somebody says... It's either the trash or you. I mean, come on, right?
Yeah, well, that's how it's presented. So it's interesting. I'm sure there's a lot of, and then I'm aware of a number of families and people at certain ages that just shouldn't have received them that do already. So I know that there is being privilege and access and influence that is intervening in the distribution of the vaccines, because I know firsthand of people who have been vaccinated that should not be, you know, so.
Well, I would wonder, Jeff, I mean, as somebody who had it and was tested and I've, you know, the antibodies, and I've been reading a couple of studies from Europe, which of course you don't get any of this stuff here. I mean, because they wanted to, if they give you the facts, then they can't blow the BS by as easily, evidently, or that must be the plan. But, a group in Britain started testing people with, the day that the vaccine started. The Pfizer and the AstraZeneca, those are the two that they had over there. So the Moderna, for some reason, well, that's the reason why they're not, it wasn't there yet. So I don't know about that one, but those are the two. So they started testing people who just essentially got over the COVID on their own. And this is after 20 weeks. I got this thing, I don't know, 2 weeks ago. After 20 weeks, the good news is both the people who ended up with it and the Pfizer vaccine, that still 90% of the people after 20 weeks, their antibodies are still good. Either people like me that had it. Now, 10%, no, because 10% of the people, for whatever reason, don't develop the antibodies as well as they should. And those are the same, I don't know if they're the same people, but the same percentage of people that don't react as well to the vaccine and don't develop the antibodies from the vaccine. So it's about a 90% number, but that's plenty. Because you're going to get herd immunity pretty easily with that. And the other one, the Pfizer, is not as good. It's like 80 to 83%. So it's not as good as your own antibodies or the Pfizer. It doesn't appear after 20 weeks. Now, the good news is it's going strong after 20 weeks. Now, the bad news is we don't know if it's going to be 40, 30, 80. You know, obviously you'd like it to be a year and a half or two, like SARS, but nobody knows that yet. But the fact is, now, if you go to a hospital and you're going to give everybody the hospital test, and you've got 1,000 people there and you got 500 vaccines, you would think that you give everybody in the hospital an antibody test, and if they've got their own, you'd push them off a month and get the people who don't have the antibodies, haven't already had it. And there's some people who think that it's dangerous for people to go get the vaccines if you had it recently, or maybe, because nobody's ever did that to anybody, and yet those people are lining up too. Why? I mean, what are we doing there? There doesn't seem to be any common sense at all, Jeff.
What do you mean by dangerous to receive the vaccine if you've already received it?
Carl was saying that sometimes if you already have the antibodies like me, to go and get a vaccine, it might react with the natural. I mean, nobody knows that. They haven't tested. I'm not saying
that's right. Nobody knows that. Right.
Yeah. So the urge to give a vaccine to somebody who's already got the antibodies. First of all, why are you doing it? And secondly, how do you know it's safe? So I mean, you would think that the whole idea. I mean, as they keep talking about these numbers of people that have had it recently, and again, I talk for somebody who has, and Kenny had it as well. I'm not happy that I got it. I mean, I would rather have not, but once I've survived it, I guess I'm happy I'm over it. But the idea that there could be as many as 40 million people out there that have their own antibody, you never. It's like these people don't exist. You know, they can't go to work. They still have to wear a mask. They can't go into a bar. Why? They're just like you. They're just like 90% of them are just like you vaccinated them. It's like they don't exist. If they say there's 10,000 people in Illinois that have the COVID today, what that means really is 10 days from now there's 10,000 people you don't have to worry about, right? But nobody, yep. Nobody's thinking of it that way.
Right.
I mean, question: what are we? I mean, who's in charge of this mess? I mean, you know what's weird that when I say that, Jeff, it's not. And I'm dying to have you on today because you, one of the few people knows the hell I'm talking about when I say stuff like this. I don't know what that says about you, but it seems like we have a government that can't shoot straight, and yet when it comes to preferencing certain places, they're spot on efficient. I mean, there's no pushback. And Walgreens getting such a deal, or CVS. And I was surprised that the Republican plan that came out was like less than half of the Democratic plan. The amount of money for the gloves, you know, vaccine development was the exact same amount. They didn't pull one dime out of it. Which makes me think that who's ever the lobbyists are, who's ever making these masks and these gowns and stuff.
Both sides of the aisle.
I mean, how do you eviscerate every other one of the Democrats' side? I'm not saying they shouldn't have. And all of a sudden, here's one number that stays exactly the same. How can that be? There's not one penny of waste in that $160 billion? That we could say, oh, we're going to cut this out. Why do we? I mean, all I know is when I bought my masks, I bought them at Sam's Club, and I think I paid $10 for 30. I mean, you can buy a hell of a lot of masks for $160 billion. Just saying.
Exactly right. I do know of somebody who's working on importing large quantities of masks from Europe and China for the United States, and that his wholesale costs are amazingly low for super large, you know, extremely large quantities.
Is it like we're talking like 20 cents a mask, dime?
Yeah, 20 to 25 cents.
I've seen them as much as $5.
And those are for N95s, to be clear.
Really? I've seen the ones in stores that aren't even N95, you know, $8 for like three of them.
Right. So of course, you know, he's talking in multi-million increments, but that's the base price. So there's, again, to use your larger point, there's a lot of money being made along the distribution chain here.
You know, I don't understand a lot about a lot of stuff, but explain to me how our senators and representatives somehow think that, do they honestly think that Lake Michigan one day is going to turn into a bunch of $100 bills or what? I mean, how do they think we can afford that? We're talking about numbers, $160 billion just for that piece of this plan. The entire federal spending in 2000 was $170 billion. So it's almost an entire year of spending 20 years ago. How do these guys, is it just all about their 4 years, 2 years, or 6 years and their money and just getting out of there and don't care? I mean, there's not enough left here for the rest of us. I mean, I see a sense, Jeff, there's a difference I think you and I would probably agree, I'm not putting words in their mouth, but, you know, somewhere along the line in World War II, that our great-grandfathers stiffed the government on 5% of a PT boat engine. If you really had been huge, you know, it might have. If we really gone out for auction, we might have paid, you know, $20,000 instead of $21,000 or something. But the $1,000 was spent in the neighborhood. We're not even on that kind of a warp speed plan here. We're not talking about the guy with the $5,000 PT boat motor getting like $100,000 for it. You know, but that's, I don't think. because I don't think we had the money to do that. I think people watch people because we were at war. Now, there doesn't seem to be any limit to how much people can steal. It's like a national sport, stealing money from the government. And yet, they're broke. Do they just think they're going to get enough and move to where Grace Kelly's kids are in Monaco or someplace, and they're out of here, or what? It doesn't even sound like the people think they're going to be here. It's like, we're going to make this score and we're moving or something. It's a whole different level. Is that just me being cynical?
Modern monetary theory has a foothold in government now. So
that's just an excuse.
It is an excuse, but it has a foothold. They have something they can point to in terms of,
trying to
rationalize these expenses. It's not a coincidence that Stephanie Kelton, who is the author of her book on monetary theory.
It's a new monetary theory.
To President Biden's transition team, Economic Advisor Council. So, they're going to rely upon that to justify these kind of expenses. I mean, there's...
Jeff, you wouldn't
nothing
do this.
Nothing else practically that can do that.
Jeff, you wouldn't do this.
Her book, by the way, called The Deficit Myth.
The Deficit Myth, of course.
Yes.
Right.
Modern Monetary Theory and the Birth of the People's Economy.
Jeff, you wouldn't do this because you're a moral soul, and so is Matt, even though he doesn't think he is. If you were polluting a river, you can find somebody to write a scientific thing telling you you're actually doing the river some good. You'd find somebody to write that book. Somebody would, right?
Sure, absolutely.
Well, this is really good for the river. Okay. I mean, how much do they pay her to write this book? Nobody thinks that if you...
There's a huge audience. Now, remember, we did a cover story for her on Luckbox magazine. We covered the book. It was a feature story, and of course, in covering that story and interviewing her extensively, I spoke to her personally at the end of that... we went and got some opposing viewpoints and then backed up all the way to, Keynes versus Hayek, just so people really understood the basic difference of, monetary approach and what was at stake here. But for every opinion on one side, to your point, you will find an opposing opinion, and you'll find one that's just as shrill as the provocative one that's wrong on the left. You'll find one that's equally wrong on the right. It's just because those are, unfortunately, the opinions that, attract interest. I mean, look at us. We're as a award-winning publication, we took a financial publication. We put this crazy theory on the cover. Why? Because it's just... because it's so wrong, and it's an educational moment too. Said, all right, here's a voice you should know. You're going to hear a lot more of this voice. And then sure enough, shortly after the deficit myth was published, Biden named her to be on his Economic Advisor Council. Now, he hasn't made an appointment for her yet, but modern monetary theory definitely has an influence and a place in the new administration. And it'll be used to justify... They believe this I can tell by some of the letters I've received from readers, for every, it was probably a 9-to-1 ratio in terms of, saying, this is ridiculous versus, no, you have to look at money in a new way. But the people who were supporting her were just as offensive as those, those with extreme viewpoints. I mean, it just typically is. The squeaky wheel is getting a lot of attention in our new world, whether it be cultural victimization, intersectionality, or just really bad theories. Or those who, if you just say follow the science, you get a lot of room. And then
you can
talk about nothing but science afterwards. So there's, there's new voices today that are getting platforms. And our job continues to be separating the wheat from the chaff.
I think, Jeff, it comes down to the matter of degree. And that's what is left out of all these, quote, theories. It's the matter of degree. I mean, everybody knows that if your government goes out and spends a bunch of money on stuff that is economically progressive, I'll say, Tennessee Valley, Hoover Dam, Golden Gate Bridge, Bay Bridge, I mean, you name it, subway in New York, where it's you're gonna build up a debt for that, okay? And then if it's accretive, and your people now are doing better, you can have just like a company. You can run a company, a successful company forever, with 10% bonds versus 100% stock. Maybe 15, sure. Maybe 20.
Yeah.
Nobody is questioning.
If it's accretive, key words, it's producing some revenue somewhere.
Yeah. But I'm saying that doesn't mean that you and I would feel comfortable with a company that's 90% leveraged. Now, if it was the timing was right, and everything is timing, right? If the timing is right and you end up having your five best years ever, okay, and you're 90% leveraged, the people who are the 10% are going to do way better than if you were 20% levered. We know this, okay? Sure. The question is now what risks are you taking? And if it's you and I taking them for my firm, or our firm, sorry, it's on us, okay? And if all of a sudden we have a bad year and can't pay, or all of a sudden our interest rates go up, okay, and we can't pay and we go under, that's the business cycle. But if these guys are willing to do that, to throw money at people so they can get elected, and oh, by the way, the people that get elected now come out of there rich, so it's not like 40 years ago where Paul Simon comes out of there and goes and teaches at Eastern Illinois or where the hell he went, with not a dime to his name. That's not what's happening. If all of a sudden they say, oh no, this is fine, and all of a sudden 2 years from now, the federal interest rate is 5%, and half of their money is going just to pay interest. It's not okay for the rest of us, Jeff. It might have been all right for them to tell us it's okay, but what do they say? Don't pee in my shoes and tell me it's raining. I mean, come on. There's a limit to this, right?
Right.
Well, I mean, it's not. There's a theory versus another. I would never say that the federal government can't have 20% debt of the GDP. If they're doing things that are creative, you and I would both agree to that. But now, do we just get stuff to throw stuff out there to give to people that we like and not even worry about the fact that this debt is getting bigger by the second? That's not the same book, is it? It's a matter of degree. It's not principle at that point.
That's true.
I mean,
right.
Whatever it would be, I don't know what you do. I was going to say it comes down to to crime and punishment. I mean, if somebody does something, a misdemeanor, I mean, you might want to make them do community service for a weekend. It's not the same as putting them in jail for life, right? I mean, there's degrees on everything. And I think these guys are losing. And if they can point to books like this and say what I'm doing is right, it's just like somebody else telling you that pollution's good for the river. That's just me.
Sure.
Well, hey, when we come back, let's talk about the next. You guys got a theme for the new magazine? No, let's talk about that after the break. SP Futures down 6, and SP Futures down 22. Be right back.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 7. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with their choice. PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks,
stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello, everyone. Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom. I'm just from Weber on the board. Mr. Jeff Joseph with us as well from Lookbox Magazine. SP Futures down 7. Yeah, down. NASDAQ Futures down 23, but not very much. It depends how much we've been up. Dow Futures down 72. Individual stocks, nothing really crazy. We got Amgen up 1.25. We got Boeing down 1.5. JP Morgan down 1. Nothing stands out at all here. Over in Europe, we've got DAX down 60.4%. These guys have been on a tear. But they're right up to 14,000, actually 13,999. Last time we did this, they were a little over 14,000. FTSE down 2, call that flat. CAC around down 2, call that flat. So not much going on over there. I would say more like a pause than a sell-off. Nikkei up 117.4%, 29,505. Shanghai up 71, it's 2%. I'm thinking of Nikkei back in the crazy days. I'm thinking we'll get to some Jeff after. I think they got to like 35,000. They're not that far away. Hang Seng up 156. That's 0.5%. The bonds, actually, well, call it all unchanged at 1.15. The Bund minus 0.43. And the Japan positive 0.07, which again is, they were unchanged. They were even like 3-4 weeks ago. Oil, down 11 cents, 57.86. They're pausing here as well. Brent over, still over 60, down a penny, 60.55. Natural gas down 7 cents, 2.80, so maybe there is an end that is cold somewhere. RBOB unchanged at 166. We've got gold up 9 bucks, 18.43. We got silver down a penny, 27.56. Excuse me, copper up 2 cents, 3.69. Maddie, what do you got for us? Well, I guess I should do the crypto, eh? Bitcoin up 2,300, 45,953. God, I wish I could find a way to buy puts on that, but there aren't any. Maddie, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. I-80 on the westbound side is the big trouble spot this morning on both sides of the Illinois-Indiana border. On the Indiana side, the left lane is blocked on the westbound side just before Indianapolis Boulevard. But then as you cross the border to the Illinois side, there's a huge crash. Three cars, or multiple cars involved, I should say, blocking the three left lanes on the westbound side just before Torrance Avenue. That's exit 161. So significant delays on 8094. And then further west, as you approach Joliet on 80 westbound, just before Francis Road, there's a crash as well. So for whatever reason, westbound I-80 is just a mess this morning with multiple accidents, partly in due, I would imagine, due to last night's storm. But three crashes to report, and then we had that other crash last hour as well, all on the westbound side of I-80. So avoid that area if you can. No issues on the Ryan, I-57 of the Bishop Ford this morning. We're seeing heavy traffic buildups on the Stevenson and on the Eisenhower, but no accidents to report. Same for the Kennedy and Edens expressways, too. So high traffic volumes this morning. A lot of people heading back into work, it appears, but no accidents up north. Off the expressways, there's a crash in the western suburbs, North Avenue at Schmalley Road,
And then northwest of there in Elgin, Dundee Avenue at Liberty Street, there is a crash. But everything else is all quiet out there. Weather today, sunshine, but very cold temperatures as we remain well below freezing for a big stretch here and for the foreseeable future, it appears. A high of just 16 today. Right now it is clear and 6 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, sunny with a high of 75. Right now it's clear and 47. In sports, Bulls lost to the Wizards 105-101 last night. Suns beat the Cavs 119-113. In hockey, Blackhawks were off. They're at the Stars tonight, looking to win their second straight. That's a 7:30 p.m. Chicago time puck drop. Coyotes were in action last night. They beat the Blues 4-3. Chief.
Hey, Jeff, I got a question for you. You guys did some work in one of the issues about board governance, didn't you guys? I think you did.
We did, yeah, in the past, on corporate governance.
Yeah. Yep. Well, walk me through how the hell Tesla managed to buy $1.5 billion in Bitcoin.
Yeah, it's a good question. I haven't looked into that, but you know, it seems they have a lot of leeway now. How you can choose cash, I could see that being, having looked at those assignments and parameters in the past, and the discretion that you have if you have a friendly board in terms of how you make alternative investments or acquisitions. They could have easily passed that off as a alternative cash investment or as an acquisition for business purposes. So it's the amount that I think is so stunning, not the actual investment itself. I know of a number of companies, private and public companies, that have scaled to the point where they've made Bitcoin investments, but you know, it's the $1.5 billion number that sticks out at you.
So that probably needed board approval at that level.
Yeah.
He's not still chairman.
Right, Matt, yes.
Didn't he have to step down, though, based on his SEC settlement?
Well, that was from before, yes. I don't... That's my recollection.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's
something.
On the
board or not. Oh, I think he's on it, but I don't know, Matt. Why don't you look that up?
He was chairman, though.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's in that role any longer and still on the board.
So would,
and that was from the SEC incident. Yeah.
What would the Jeff Joseph vote have been? Yes or no on this purchase?
On Bitcoin?
Yeah.
It would have been yes.
Really?
Yeah. You certainly can't ignore it right now, and you've got to get your arms around it. You're either going to be, you know, accepting it as a form of transaction, or you're going to be using the blockchain, perhaps even in some sort of automotive service capacity.
Yeah, but you don't,
particularly
you don't,
when you're predominantly a digital, you know, a digital manufacturer in a lot of ways. That's what Tesla's become. It's a technology company more than a car company. So, you know, not so much for the Bitcoin, but just for the understanding of blockchain. I think it's easy to, and you're diversifying. You know, we just talked about modern monetary theory. I think, you know, if you're going to try to protect the value of cash, you might look for alternative cash investments. And then the bigger question is, how much cash do they have on hand? So,
yeah, it's, you know, I would doubt if they had $1.5 billion on hand, and would you put it all in there?
Yeah. But, you know, so that's an interesting question, is what percentage of your overall cash that represents.
What I'm reading
sure,
here.
It'd be a wise thing to, you know.
Go ahead, Maddie. What is he these days?
Yeah, what I'm reading here says the SEC said that car maker Tesla and chief executive Elon Musk had agreed to pay $20 million each under a settlement that will also see the billionaire step down as chairman after a tumultuous 2 months for the company. Musk, who is synonymous with the Tesla brand, will remain as chief executive under the settlement.
Sure.
All right. So
yeah,
he's
probably still on the board. He was stepping.
Oh, yeah, he's probably still on the board. Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
I just.
And your earlier question about the Nikkei, I remember it well. It was 1990 where it hit its high, somewhere around 36 or.
Yeah, I thought it was mid-30s somewhere.
Somewhere.
Yeah, I just. 30s. There's this. But, I mean, buying. I guess I would love to have the. If somebody asked the question at the board or even on the air, I mean, what exactly am I buying? What do you mean? What do you care? It's going up. I don't know that's a. I don't know if I could spend $1.5 billion on that. It's one thing, because the reason why I asked, we had a client we're talking to last week, and he claims, and I'm not, you know, saying he's wrong, that he got in at Bitcoin. He has four coins at $1,300 a piece.
Yeah.
which, you know, was a lot of dough. And I said, and I said, well, are you thinking about selling? Well, no, it's going up. Well, that's typical, you know, retail response. And I, and I go, well, so why do you like Bitcoin? And he says, well, it's a, you know, it's alternative to currencies. So I'm just going to ask you one question. Again, this is all your business. It has nothing to do with me. I'm managing other parts of the guy's portfolio. And he's diversifying around, and part of it's Bitcoin, and he's not alone there. And I said, I want to ask you a question. If you, you're into this Bitcoin because you think the fiat currencies are, you know, going away to dodo bird because they're spitting too many of them out there like ours, and they're going down in terms of value. Yes. Well, if every fiat currency somehow crashes, do you think Bitcoin will stand proud alone? He goes, oh, hell no. If the dollar and the euro dollar and the Japanese yen and all these things all crap out, he goes, Bitcoin's going right with them. And I said, okay, well then how is it a substitute? He goes, it isn't, but it's going up. And I go, okay. You know, but I mean, at least he's honest. I mean, yep. I mean, does anybody really think? The difference between Bitcoin and a tulip is at least a tulip was worth something. But I mean, you don't get the blockchain by buying Bitcoin, right? You don't get access to it or anything like that.
No, you don't.
Yeah. So I mean, it's not like you're.
Yeah.
Hey, I got to quit. One more. And,
of course, you know, Tesla has publicly said, I think, either coincident with that purchase or announcing that purchase, or prior, that they plan to accept Bitcoin soon, and, you know, that's become a larger part of the Tesla ecosystem. Not to mention that they're already up about 25% on that investment. It's not like they just made it. They just announced it. But, you know, with Bitcoin breaking 45,000, they're up significantly. I think it's at least 25%.
Well, yeah, and they probably started buying it before, so they're probably up more than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But if they went to sell it, where do they drive it? You know, just asking. You know,
yeah.
So what do you guys got going? What do you find interesting other than everything? What are you finding very interesting right now? I was going to ask one more question. I'm sorry. What do you think is going to change? Because you guys did that big addition on the China situation. Do you think anything really changes with Biden versus Trump? Other than, I mean, I don't know that Biden's a big fan of what they do business, how they do business over there either. Do you think anything's going to change?
Well, there's a couple questions rolled into one there. First we were speaking editorially. We did an extensive issue on China, as
right.
you said, over a year ago, and we looked at a lot of different aspects. We looked at human rights, privacy, surveillance, the Uyghur Muslims and how they're being treated. We looked at trade and the what's it called, the acquisition that they have through this what's it called, the bridge, and I forget the name of the program, but where they're spending billions in the infrastructure of companies around the globe just to get their foothold into the P&L in various different companies. And it is time to revisit that, because China, the attention to China was higher obviously during the Trump administration, and now the media is going to pay a little bit less attention to China right now, and so we feel an obligation to take a look at those programs and seeing what might be different under the Biden administration, but we want to give that a little bit more time for some policies to take light. So what will be the new trade policy? How will certain companies that were under a federal watch list be treated? Will their status be changed at all? We have to let that play out a little bit more. It's not clear. Listen, Biden's clearly going to be a friendlier administration to China, but we're not sure what that means as of this point. And the Uyghur Muslim situation continues to...
I was going to ask you, is that getting any better?
No, it continues to get no attention. The human rights group within the UN pays no attention to it. And now they're without a strong voice as our UN representative now, because now it'll be more about, it'll be less confrontational, admittedly, but what good is a forum like the UN if it's not confrontational, right? If the UN has China on its human rights committee, then, you know, what is the value of that organization in general? I know it makes a lot of globalists feel good, but you have to really seriously question its value and purpose. And it's too early for us to take any comprehensive look at China and understand the impact that taking the foot off the gas has had on relations with China.
Well, what's the double secret feeling on both sides of the aisle and among those in our population, meaning people like you that actually are more educated on this than people like me? Was Trump wrong in what he did? I don't know if I like all of the way he did it, but it seems to me that everything he unearthed about those people was pretty much true.
Yeah, everything he spoke to is pretty much true. Most importantly, including that their broader national objective, which is really to beat the U.S. That is a global, or that is a countrywide obsession, you know. And the CCP clearly is working along that angle. They want to make up for the last century, and taking out the U.S. as the number one global superpower is their unifying goal, a unifying objective, and it sifts down to the populace as well, who are not indifferent. They see the U.S. as the great Satan, you know. It's no longer the attitude of the Middle East. But so that clearly is what they're trying to do, and the irony has always been, the humor for those of us who are more aware of China's role and powers and how they've infiltrated our own state, and both in academia and our government, to achieve those objectives. Those of us who are aware of that find such irony in the media's obsession because of their anti-Trump bias on Russia, which is, you know, Russia, which is a pimple on the rear of the globe at best, you know, not among the 10 top superpowers in terms of GDP, as an economy the equivalent of Brazil or Italy. no real superpower military aspects to be concerned about. Clearly don't have the data intelligence. They're not ripping us off on technology. They're not, you know, China is the threat. It's not Russia. The media has been obsessed with Russia for more partisan political reasons, but they've created cover for China in many, many ways. So it's something that there's a lot of curiosity to see
how
Russia administration will approach China going
from
forward.
From the news media part, though, Jeff, they are much more willing to use, I'll say, conventional military means to just take stuff than China. At least, they obviously did that in the Ukraine. They did that in what's the...
Sure.
I mean, they still are willing, and I wouldn't really put it past them one of these days to walk into Lithuania. I mean, because they're pretty good at, you know, you got it, we want it, let's take it. And the world is not about to stop them. Where China is much more long-term, and I'll use the term sneaky about it. And you're right, much more of a danger going forward.
Sure.
But on the front page of the news, it's a lot more newsworthy for Russians piling into somebody's town than it is with a tank. Than what the Chinese are doing. It's much more.
It shouldn't be, though.
It shouldn't be.
You know, whether it be spying on American citizens, spying on all of their citizens, in turning 2 million Muslims, or what they're doing in Hong Kong, all of that should be occupying the news. But listen, they've infiltrated media as well, and that's clear. So China's inroads into global media, into our government, into our technology companies, is not anecdotal. It's well documented, and academia, you know, including people on the payroll at Harvard, you know, earning over $2 million as Chinese spies, and even our government, you know, working with Swalwell out in California. So, you know, China is the issue, but you have a myopic and partisan media that chooses to find other boogeymen.
Well, Jeff, we are to a certain extent. I got this. I talk about how back it was. I got this book on World War One, and one of the introduction, the first few chapters are when you start talking about new things in warfare. People who win always get to not only win, they get to define the rules of warfare. In other words, if you're Mike Tyson and you and I are walking down the street, he might say, "Let's have a fight every morning by the way, Marcus of Queensbury rules. Well, you and I aren't going to last too long. And at some point, we're gonna take our car and run them over after eight beatings in a row or something, right? It's gonna be, you know, and so I guess we're more than capable of. And again, I'm not a Chinese, you know, whatever excuse maker, whatever you want to call it, apologist. But we feel perfectly fine in rolling satellites over everybody and you know, and seeing if people are reading their license plates from the atmosphere, and we think that's perfectly okay. You know, if somebody comes over here and does something that's wrong, I mean, it really does. It is a question of point of view. It's not like, you know, I mean, if you're in China and you look up, you got an American taking your picture, right? I mean, I'm not so sure I'd be so happy with that if I even looked at it, right? I'm not so happy about it here, but I mean, it's not like we're not at least attempting to do a lot of these things. I'm not, like I said, I'm not saying we shouldn't, but I mean, the fact that somebody might be pissed off about it doesn't surprise me all that much.
Well, it's not a fair comparison.
No, it probably isn't, but I mean,
our espionage activity is geared towards criminal activity. It's not on collecting data on all citizens. It's not about establishing social scores. It's not about monitoring their activity in day and night and trying to, you know, create a certain pattern. We're not interning 2 million people engaged in gang rape and re-education. Somebody escaped and went to the press with a gang rape story just a couple days ago, which you might have seen. This Chinese woman reported what happened to her in internment camps, and no one really pays any real attention or gives that a lot of great concern. They're not, we're not ripping off and commercializing their products and IP.
Well, we're not pulling,
we're
not pulling husbands out of families and showing up with a new husband like they are to the Muslim people.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
pretty
awful.
Listen, the aha moment for me, you know, just as editorial director of Luckbox magazine and doing what was a comprehensive expose on the war with that, it was called the stealth war with China. And where we're truly battling, and we managed to get two major sources. One of them is during the outbreak of coronavirus. So we did that issue, I think, back in March, and coronavirus in China was something we were well aware of. Through an American family or a Chinese family living in America, we were able to get pictures back out of Wuhan of giant stones brought and put in the middle of the street and to roadblock to stop people. So we had about 17, 18 different photographs that were taken that showed, you know, just major obstacles pulled into the street by the military to block any entrance and egress out of the city. And that's in many, many streets. We saw this on their highways of large stone structures stretching from one end to the other end that did not allow any egress out. We saw shots of people in uniform that were putting locks on the outside of apartments.
Yeah.
We had those photographs and comments from individuals about what it was. We printed the magazine, and then we printed another story about a woman doing an English version of TikTok that already obtained 2 million followers and it was about being a Chinese American woman living in the United States, living in Chicago, actually, and that she couldn't do what she was doing in China, even though it was innocuous. We ran those two stories in print, and those stories were on trucks going to Barnes & Noble and distribution points around the country. Within 24 hours of both those stories being printed and on trucks going to stores, I personally talked to members of both families who were the sources that either got us the pictures out of Wuhan or the husband of the woman who was being featured as running this TikTok channel. They both implored us after we showed them a copy of what we had created based on their involvement and interview. They implored us not to run it. They said their parents and family would be at risk of death.
Yeah, I remember
of
that.
Certain death.
I remember that.
And we made this unfortunate decision of killing all the print manufacturers. You know, we just did it because we believed it, that we believed the sincerity of what they said, that their families were going to be at risk and they could be murdered by the CCP. So we ate all those print issues. That issue never saw print.
Wow.
It
and never saw distribution.
Well, we covered that. We talked about that.
Changed digital distributions to omit those stories.
Jeff, were you the guys who had the stories of the crematoriums they were pulling into Wuhan?
No. No, ours was about how they were locking in the citizenry in Wuhan.
Well, that's what they did. And they locked them in, and everybody who died, they just burned the bodies up. I mean, it's brutal.
We knew of that. We had seen the pictures of the bodies outside of schools and outside of the hospital, and that, you know, that they weren't reporting deaths, because if you didn't get seen by the hospital, you did not die of... So when they were aware of cases coming to the hospital, they just weren't treating them. They weren't seeing them, because once you saw them, you'd have to note it as COVID. So they're letting people essentially die in line.
Jesus.
People were in that line for 2 or 3 or 4 days outside and never got into the hospital, and those lines were photographed.
It's a great world, isn't it?
It's a terrible world.
Jeff, thank you very much, buddy. As usual, unbelievable stuff. Take care of yourself. We'll talk at you next week. I hope your Bitcoin keeps going higher, but do us a favor, sell it at the top, will you? S&P futures down.
I sold Bitcoin at 1,000, so I'd rather not talk about it.
S&P futures down 22. I bet you got some in your back pocket. Sell at the top. I want you to say, I sold the top of Bitcoin when you come on the show someday. Just saying. We'll be right back tomorrow morning.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.